I'm Allison Jacobson, a transformational coach for women in midlife who are ready to rediscover who they were before they took on the roles of mom, partner, caregiver, and manager of everyone in the family. Women who are ready to live out their dreams but don't know or are afraid to take those first steps. I want to help you make midlife the time when you achieve all of your goals. So let's get started. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Midlife Mavericks. I am your host, Allison Jacobson. Thanks so much for being here. As you know, this is all about women getting past their self-doubt, their limiting beliefs, to just break free of all of the confines and live confidently, courageously, and abundantly in midlife. I do solo episodes. I do guest episodes with women who've done amazing things in midlife, and also experts who can help us with everything in midlife, from finances to food to health and wellness to sex, you name it, we talk about it. And if you like this podcast, do me a favor, please go on, leave a review, subscribe, because that will help other women find this. And I am committed to creating a world of kick-ass midlife mavericks. So as some of you know, I ran the New York City Marathon 2 years ago, and I was really impressed with myself. I'm not going to lie, never ran in my life. I went from 1 mile to 26 miles in a year, but my guest freaking makes me look like amateur hour. So Allison Young is an expert at reinvention. She's lived a variety of identities, from principal flutist with a major symphony orchestra, including the Boston Symphony, to syndicated radio host at American Public Media, to cancer thriver and professional backpacker walking over 12,000 miles on 6 continents. Yes, you heard correctly. She is uniquely positioned to speak on the subject. She uses her own hard-won experience plus research-backed techniques as guide to harness powerful emotions for positive actions, as well as to visualize a wider path and make the mental shift needed for success. Hey, Allison, I am so glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. And thanks for that wonderful introduction. Yeah, 12,000 miles. I wouldn't say it's like running a marathon, because it's just like step by step.
Yeah, but no. And that's what women do. This is, do not put yourself down. That is just incredible. And when I say 12,000 miles and 6 continents, yeah, that sounds it. But then I went to your YouTube channel. You walked the entire length of New Zealand. Like, that's insane.
Yeah. I mean, that was my first big through hike. So it kind of built, like, you know, you start walking as a little kid, and I was the only girl in my family. So it's kind of like, you know, walking to get away from the family or be inspired. I mean, my earliest memory is looking at my feet and seeing them taking me somewhere and feeling just sort of that power of your own motion. I mean, if you can't walk, let's just say that you're limited that way, it doesn't matter. It can be like your imagination removing you from a situation, going and seeing new things. There was so much power in that. And it was a place that I became creative, a place that I became grounded. So there was walking, there was backpacking, and it was building throughout my life. And then I had some pretty serious health issues, a lot of losses. So with the flute, and the reason I consider myself a reinvention expert is in my 30s, I developed something called focal dystonia. It's a neurological movement disorder. I had lifted my flute to my face one day and I could not remember where to put my fingers.
Oh my gosh. Is it like a stroke?
No, it's more like Parkinson's. And so my muscles move in the wrong direction from where I want them to go. So you have incredibly intricate and expert, you know, movements that you need to make to play the flute. And it just kind of disappeared. I couldn't
that
remember.
That must have been devastating.
Absolutely devastating. I mean, it was, I like to call it a cosmic ripoff. I mean, just one of those things. I'd never even heard of it. I had no preparation for it.
Yeah.
And there's no cure exactly. I'm sure some people will argue with me on that, but there is no known cure, really known cause, except that musicians are very susceptible to it because we do extremely Very complex, I think, is the way to describe it. Movements. I mean, you're
Wow.
requiring yourself to be thinking ahead, faster
Yeah.
than most people do. So I all the time that I played the flute, I mean, it's kind of like this walking thing. There was always a sort of push pull. So I would go to a music festival at the Grand Tetons, or I would go to the music festival in Colorado or in Europe or something, and I would always be hiking as much as I could, and then back, playing my flute. And interestingly enough, I mean, really fast forward, one of the talks that I give is about people finding their muse on trail. I mean, there's like scientific research that literally putting your feet in this motion makes the blood pump to the brain. I mean, you're like massaging your thoughts. So that's why we can like work out problems when we walk. I mean, especially not necessarily fast. I mean, you could be walking leisurely, sauntering. And I discovered that, I was in classical music, obviously, as a flutist. I discovered that some of these composers, like Beethoven, Mahler, Bach, Tchaikovsky, all walked to find the muse. I mean, they would take notepads out with them, and they knew, I mean, they didn't understand it scientifically, probably, but they knew that there was something happening in nature, in the movement of walking. And so I actually give a talk on that, and kind of compare it to what I did. And it was really great for me because all this time spent indoors playing flute, or later as a radio host in front of the microphone, and then realizing that, wait a minute, going outside is actually good for you and good for me. And composers did it too. So
Well, and
that
it's just
was really
so
great.
it allows you to be creative too. I mean, I find some of my most creative times, I always have my phone to record when I'm with me because, yeah, if I'm thinking of a podcast, if I'm thinking of writing or something, yeah, it's when you're outside in nature and you can just really think.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting to me, especially on my long distance hikes, how I start this conversation with, I call her the goddess. Now, I don't know if it's actually, the spiritual, omniscient one, or if it's like the wise part of me, but there's a two-way conversation. I mean, I'm sort of talking like, I don't know what to do. Well, Allison, you should. And then there's like this, radio voice. That's kind of calm. And it's amazing how I have brought like problems that have been going on for years out to the trail, and I just talk them through, and all of a sudden an idea comes, or a solution that I'd never thought of. And usually they're very, they're very big, they're very forgiving, and very, the bigger part of me, not the kind of mean part of me, the nicer part. So that's really, really great. And actually, one of the things that came to me on trail, so I gave up flute, and then I became a radio host. I worked for American Public Media here in St. Paul, and I was hiking, like on my vacations, pushing them further and further. In fact, I just wrote a piece yesterday on this long hike I took of the French Alps. And it took me 4 weeks. I mean, that's a long time to take away, especially an on-air job. But they let me go on my vacation. And then there just came this time where I knew I wanted to see what it was like to walk like an Appalachian Trail. Something over 1,000 miles would take
And
no
how old were
time.
you at this point?
Well, I was in my early 50s.
Oh my
So
God.
I know. I mean, so like it's funny because like the first, I wish I'd done this, when I was younger, when it was like no big deal. You see young people on trail, but I was having a flute career. I mean, I was like so focused on my work. So I knew that time was running out. I mean, I had dystonia, but also in my maternal line was debilitating arthritis and cancer, breast cancer to be specific. And I knew it was coming for me. So there was, I mean, it was almost a, I mean, this is something I would love to say to your audience too. When you have those kind of thoughts that stay with you a long time, I mean, it's not obsessive, but it's, you come up with an idea, or you have this feeling about something, really explore it, because this feeling I had was time's running out. If you're going to do this thing, you need to do it now. You got to do this thing now. And so I asked for this half year's leave of absence to walk a long trail, and I chose one that was really far away, in New Zealand. I mean, partly because it was different and wild and I'd never been there, but also because if I'd committed to it, I couldn't quit very easily. It's very expensive to get home, and you're building up this whole thing. So So I decided I wanted to do that, and I needed the money to do it.
So
And
you didn't have arthritis or cancer at the time, but you decided to do it.
no.
Okay.
Right. I mean, well, I had cancer, and I mean, you can sort of see my hands are just.
Right.
I started getting cancer in my hand. I'm cancer in my hands. Arthritis in my hands. Arthritis in my feet. Slowing down. But my great grandmother was in a wheelchair by the time she was 36.
Oh my gosh.
My mother had had feet and hips and all these, replacements. Not foot replacement, but I mean, pieces put into
Yeah.
there. And I could see it coming for me. So it was, yeah, it hadn't happened yet. Literally, when I came home, I mean, after, well, I walked 5,000 miles. I walked the New Zealand and I walked the PCT too, one after another. And then shortly after that, my hips went and I had to have both replaced,
Oh my gosh.
which they're great. I mean, they're amazing. Hips are pretty easy actually to do. I mean, you have to you have to
I've heard. So I've heard. Oh my
yeah.
gosh. So, I mean, just, and I always hesitate to say this because my husband has primary progressive MS, a friend does, and people say, you must have been so, you must be so brave. And it's like, no, it's not. It's what I do. But I mean, that was courageous to go to New Zealand. And do you hike by yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I'm married. I have a wonderful husband who hikes with me sometimes, but has no interest in these like really long hikes.
Yeah.
He says, I like to have flush toilets and a beer at the end of
I'm
the day. So,
kind of like that too. I get that.
and so we don't have children, so we have a wonderful relationship where we enjoy doing our own things and then coming back together. So, yeah, it was a really long time to be away. We also got married late. I mean, I was in my late 30s, so
Yeah.
I don't know if people consider that late now, but we didn't have children. We were, not getting married young and starting a family.
Right.
It was a very different relationship. So there was that. But I remember I had this like little party right before I left, and to get advice from people. And Richard, my husband's advice was, "Hey, you got credit cards and they speak English. I mean, what's there to worry about?"
What could possibly go wrong hiking across an entire country? Oh my God.
I mean, it is an established trail. There are other hikers on it. I met other people. I hiked with people that I met in. This was one thing I said I was going to do before I went, and I definitely did it. You sort of latch on to people when you're doing something really difficult. Crossing
Right.
a pass in weather, bad weather,
Okay.
or crossing a river. I only did one little questionable crossing by myself once. It was very late in the trail, and but river crossings are. They're even in many ways more dangerous than alpine passes, because if you
Now,
get swept away,
the only thing I know about hiking is reading Cheryl Strayed's book, Wild. And so, I have this vision of dealing with your backpack. And was it like that where, and in Cheryl's book, she talks about provisions being left at certain places. Like, how did you do it? Did
How do you
you
do
have
it?
all this on your back? What did you do?
Right. I mean, it is a many many faceted plan to try to do something like this. I mean, one of the things that's really helpful is now we have everything online. So we have crowdsourced maps where people say, even days before, they might say, this is a really great place to camp. This is a really great place to get water. Stay in this place when you get to town. The first part, because I went from north to south, the North Island, you pass through towns more regularly, so you can buy food. I mean, that's the biggest concern is
Yeah.
you have to have 3 to 5,000 calories a day or even more. I mean, you burn so many calories.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, like somebody lifted me up on the sign, to hang on to it and look like, oh, I'm here, I made it. And I mean, I was like this little waif. I have no fat on me at all, which is
Right, because you're not big now, so my God.
right. I mean, that's not healthy. But so food is a big deal. And in New Zealand, what I learned mainly from other people was, you can hit these places. You don't always walk right through a town, but you come to a road. And you can get a hitchhike, you hitch into town, you get your food, or you stay in town to take a break, come back. And as you go, you get better at figuring out like what foods you like, what foods you
Oh,
need,
right.
how
Because,
much you need.
yeah. And I would think water, the same issue.
It's totally the same issue. Oh, and I was just going to answer this one other part of the question. Then you have to do things like what I did on the South Island was you send boxes ahead of time. So that's what you're talking
Right.
about, Cheryl Strayed.
Yeah.
You pack a box when you're in town. And I remember it was so expensive in New Zealand. I bought like ramen noodles for a dollar, and piled them up and junk, all this food. And then to send it is like $75.
Right, right, right.
Insane. But you're really happy because you don't have to come so far out. It's someone's holding it for you at a, it's a, it's like at a resort or
Okay.
a campground. But water, yeah, water was never a problem in New Zealand. I mean, you have to take a filter with you, to filter the water, make sure you don't get any, viruses or anything like that in it, that'll make you sick. But that becomes a big problem if you're doing something like when I was on the Pacific Crest Trail. That's the trail that Cheryl Strayed. She did 1,000 miles,
Right. Yeah.
and went through the
Only
desert.
1,000.
Only 1,000. I mean, it's 2,600 miles. It's a big one.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I mean, one of the most spectacular hikes I've ever done in my life. But you get into the desert, and you're starting to do things called water carries, and those make me very nervous because it means that you have to. First of all, you have to pack enough water that you're going to make it to wherever you're going. The biggest one I
Yeah.
ever did was 21 miles, and it included a climb of a mountain.
Oh my
So,
God.
you're burning calories, you're burning up the water. It wasn't hot though when I was there, so that was helpful. You're in the
Okay.
sun. But I get like weird about it. I'm like, okay, it's 21 miles. So, in 5 miles, I will drink a liter. In 5 miles, I'll drink another liter. I mean,
Smart.
I was like, strict. And then
Yeah.
I knew because of this crowdsourcing that the water source that I was getting to was good.
Okay.
That was something in her book that she talks about getting somewhere.
Yeah.
And it was empty.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, what am I going to do now?
Exactly. Are you looking for an extra dose of motivation every day? Head over to Amazon and grab my book, Daily Inspirations for Midlife Women, a guide to peace, joy, confidence, and abundance. You'll find small inspirational quotes that you can start out your day feeling bold and confident. And
Right.
so, I mean, clothes, shoes, how many pairs of hiking boots did you go through? What were some of the really tough times?
Oh yeah. I mean, so the trail has like just its toughness on its own, right? So
Right.
I was wearing these shoes that I loved for the longest time. They're made by La Sportiva. They make wonderful, wonderful gear. I don't wear hiking boots anymore. I wear like trail running shoes. So they have like really knobbly on the bottom, and they're low, so water can get in them. You don't have anything that's waterproof, but that way water gets in them and it gets out, and they dry faster. And they're strong enough, for the trail, and they're also light. One of the problems with hiking boots,
Yeah, they're heavy.
it's like carrying weights on your feet.
Right.
So I got into that, and I loved them for the longest time. And my feet starting getting more arthritic. I mean, they look kind of like they're like this. They're not attractive. I can't even go and get like a pedicure because they're horrible. But and on the PCT, I had to get these little tiny silicone sort of they fit right in between. Well, it's the big toe and the first toe to spread it out so they weren't crunching into each other.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, it actually didn't cause pain like bone pain or blisters. It was like the nails were hitting each other and on like an ingrown toenail. I mean, it was, I put everything I could in there, toilet paper. I mean,
Right.
until I could get to a town and find, and now I wear them all the time. But then later, it was a much shorter trail. It's the Superior Hiking Trail. It's here in Minnesota. It's a 310-mile trail. I mean, it's beautiful and wonderful, but not as big of a commitment, obviously. And I went for 2 days wearing these shoes that I've been wearing, for a long time. I mean, they're brand new at this point, but the same brand, same type. And I started getting like intense pain in my toes. And I was like, what is going on? And I took the shoe off, and like the toenail was like oozy. And I thought, oh my God, I'm going to lose this toenail. It happened to Cheryl Strayed too. So over time, my feet couldn't be, these shoes are just kind of narrow.
Yeah.
And so I had to go to a new type, like a wider shoe, different brand. I mean, this makes you loony, right? Because this is your
Yeah.
feet and you can't
Right.
move anywhere if you don't
Right,
have your feet working.
exactly.
So I just happened to be near Duluth, near a city. I had people who were following me. I hadn't met them yet. And I contacted them. Is there any way you can help me out? And they were like, yeah, we just happened to be in town. And they came and got me to the shoe store. We got a different brand. I mean, they literally made it possible for me to finish that trail.
That's
I
incredible.
wouldn't have been able to walk. Yeah.
So 5,000 miles in New Zealand. What are
Well,
the other
5,000,
continents?
2,000 there and 25, two, yeah, about 2,500. And then, yeah,
Yeah.
two trails.
And what other trails and what other continents and how many miles? So,
Yeah.
like, was this after? What was your first big hike?
First big hike where you needed, well, I mean, I backpacked. So, you would do like a something that you could manage where you're carrying all your food.
Okay.
So, like, food is that kind of big, annoying thing,
Okay.
right? Because otherwise, you have to figure out how to get it.
Right.
So, I mean, I've done things like a week in Texas, in the what's it called, Big Bend National Park.
Okay.
That's kind of a hard place for water too, but I can carry all my food and I have no problem with that. Or sometime in California on the, in the Sierras, where again,
Right.
you're carrying all your food. But then it was, I was in my late 40s when I did my first hike where I had to figure out how to do a resupply.
Late 40s. That is just
So I was already
incredible.
middle-aged, right? I was
Yeah.
middle-aged.
You
I mean,
are
I was
midlife and you, I mean, talk about midlife maverick, my God. So, I mean, to pick any one of these, New Zealand, wherever, I mean, I've got to believe there's at some point you hit where you're like, I can't go any further. I mean,
Oh, yeah, for sure. So we have this saying in the backpacking world, never quit on a bad day. Isn't that great? And I think
yeah.
you can use it everywhere.
I agree.
The talk that I give, one of my signature talks, uses the phrase hike your own hike, because it's oftentimes said when someone's like, I don't like your backpack, and then they're like, hike your own hike, pal, But hike your own hike is something really important to develop because you're developing this idea of like, I'm not going to be bothered by how fast other people are going,
Right.
or that that person's so much younger than me, because there's nothing you can do about that, right?
Right. Right.
I'm 59, that's it.
Yeah.
Never quit on a bad day. I actually give another talk on quitting and the power of quitting because you need to know how to strategically quit.
Talk
And when
about
it
that. What
really
do you?
is time to let go. Yeah. So having a hard day on trail, which happens like all the time, especially when the weather's bad, and you're just like, what am I doing here? Why did I do this? And you have
Yeah.
to like dig deep and you have to find a way to kind of keep going or just make sure you take a break. I mean,
Yeah.
sometimes you can get into town and just, stay at a motel. I usually stay in a motel and just like lay in bed and watch TV all day. Which is completely the opposite, but it's because your body is tired. I mean,
Yeah.
you're usually just wrung out and tired mentally as well as physically. But strategic quitting is we get trapped in biases, and you have to know about those before you go on a hike. I mean, you've probably heard of like sunk cost fallacy. That is one that's used in economics and in business. As I've invested so much, I've invested time, I've invested money, I've invested emotion, which is usually the biggest one, or I've invested my reputation. I'm going on to New Zealand and look at me, I'm going to do it. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, you know what? I have a broken leg. I mean, you've probably heard of you're a marathon runner. You remember there was a woman who kept running when she had broken a bone.
I know.
And I mean, you could do permanent damage
Oh, yeah.
that
Oh,
will
yeah.
make you never run again. I mean, so the person I refer to oftentimes when I talk in my Grit to Quit is the name of Grit. I'm sorry, Quit with Grit is the name of my talk. I refer to Simone Biles
Oh, God, yeah.
because can you imagine she had to She had to go into a space where she realized if I quit right now, I may never come back. This could be it, because this fits these things that was happening that, that was making it, it's almost like dystonia, although I think it's temporary, making it impossible to see, could be permanent, or could be that she never gets her mojo back, or who knows? So all of that kind of space that you have to get into, to knowing yourself and knowing, you know what? I have a broken bone and I may never walk again. And who cares what people think? Or who cares about how much money I've put in, because I could lose my life. And that literally happened to me. I was in Argentina climbing a mountain and I developed high altitude pulmonary edema, which is when mountain sickness gets really serious and you begin to build fluid in your lungs. You could also do it in your, you could get fluid in your brain, high altitude cerebral edema, which is even more dangerous because you can pass out. I mean, and then if you go unconscious, it's very difficult to
Oh
get
my
out.
gosh.
Oh, it was extremely dangerous. And I didn't know exactly what was happening. I was getting headaches and stuff from the high altitude, but you start to hear this weird crackling in your lungs. And I knew something was, and you're also, you have no energy at all. You
And
know,
were you in the middle of nowhere at this point?
no, I mean, I was with a team and we were climbing a mountain, so I was with other people,
But
but
still.
everything takes over. I knew I needed to get out. I had to get out. The only thing you do is you go down, and as soon as you get down, you get better almost right away. I mean, I needed oxygen and blah, 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 but basically you just have to get down. But what was blocking me was this idea that, somehow I felt, well, if I just have the right attitude, if I just,
I can think my way through this.
I know. And it was terrifying, really, later to realize,
Did people around you realize what was going on?
yes, I think it was, I stood up and I just fell over. I couldn't stand. I like
Oh
couldn't
my
get up.
gosh.
And
Yeah,
I
that's a
needed
pretty good
help.
indication.
And they're like, you need to go down. But it's, you think, but I've invested my, I mean, I have trip insurance. I mean, give me a break. Who cares? But you can't see.
No.
It's so difficult to see the bigger picture of what's out there.
It's your
And
ego, it's everything.
yeah. It's your right. And so I have this kind of, it's sort of like there are two sides of what hike your own hike and quit with grit are like two different pieces of sort of seeing a bigger picture of your life and seeing a bigger picture of what's available. And I came there because, I mean, I think dystonia was the biggest loss, losing the flute and coming to a point where I had to say, it's over. I mean, that was
So
really,
hard.
oh, it was so hard to let go.
I can't
And
imagine.
yeah, it was so hard to let go. And then to be able to see life had something else in store for me. There was more to do. There was more that I could accomplish. And I think that there's a lot of steps to how you get there. I mean, you need to give yourself permission to be pissed off, to honestly. You know, to be angry, to be scared, to be in a negative space. And there's even scientific research on this, that those negative spaces, that the oh, why me, can actually create some neural pathways that get us through it. And I know, isn't that crazy? I mean,
That
and you
is.
feel it when you hike, to sometimes go, there's the summit, I'm gonna get there, and you keep going through the rain or whatever it is. Yeah. So
I can understand that when you think about any major goal, you do get that adrenaline rush when you're angry, and it does keep you going sometimes. Sometimes you need it.
I mean, I think it's, I mean, I'm still sort of developing this whole kind of idea, but when I got cancer, there was some pressure, to be sort of stoic and grounded. I'm going into my radio voice now, my
You're like,
classic.
hell no.
And I was like, yeah. What was funny is that later people told me, especially other cancer, I call them cancer thrivers, rather than survivor, but people who had gone through very similar, said, "You moved like really fast. You went in, saw what the options were, and just were like, boom,
Yes.
and you did it. And then you were like back on trail."
So that's pretty fascinating too. You hike New Zealand, you come home, you get arthritis, you get cancer. How long were you dealing with that, getting treatment, getting overcoming that before you went back out on the trail?
Yeah. Well, I will have to say, I mean, I don't know, grace, so much grace in my life. Cancer terrified me, absolutely left me speechless, because we, all of us, but I'll speak about myself only, to not make assumptions, but I think we believe that we're in control, especially of our health. I'm unhealthy. Look, I've walked all this distance. Look at me. I'm middle-aged, but I can still do this. And cancer's like, nuh-uh, you've got this thing in you. And there's this weird, it's different than arthritis. There's this sort of this weird, like it's like an uninvited guest who's
Well, I can relate to it a little bit because my husband was a pro athlete. He was a pro golfer. And right after we got married, he was diagnosed with primary progressive MS. And so he went from being walking to being in a wheelchair to being in a power chair in very short order. And so, like you said, he was an athlete. His body was in his control, and all of a sudden, it betrayed him.
it's a yep, it's like a betrayal. You almost anthropomorphize, you almost make that thing, it's like a person,
Oh, yeah,
it's just,
absolutely.
yeah. And I'm so sorry about that, and I hope, I wish all good things for
Thank
your
you. He's doing
family.
very well. So we go on vacations and we do a lot of things. So we are
Yeah.
fortunate. We are fortunate.
Right. I mean, we can still, there's still a lot we can do. I have a friend who's in her 80s, and when she was my age, she decided she was going to walk all the long distance trails in the United States,
Jeez.
and she did it. It took her 16 years, but she did it.
Oh my
And
God.
she calls herself old lady on the trail. But anyway, she told me something amazing that has stuck with me. I mean, to do with aging, but really you can put it in a lot of places. She said, "I may be old, but I'm not done.
Yes.
It ain't over till
Yes.
it's over. There's more to give." I mean, I had breast cancer. It was stage 1A. We caught it exceedingly early. I did have to have bilateral mastectomy, so it was a major surgery. But no other treatments besides a
Yes, it is.
5-year drug treatment. So I didn't
Yeah.
have therapy. I mean, I was extremely
Wow.
lucky.
Yeah.
And I had someone recently talk to me about not believing in good luck or bad luck. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Really? I mean, it's bad luck to get cancer. It was good luck to have this very good prognosis.
Yes.
I don't agree with that. I
Yeah.
what I what when then she went on to say that she thinks that it's the way we deal with it, which I think is valuable.
I agree.
Right. I mean, I believe we do have randomly just crap that can happen. And it is up to us to figure out
Right.
how we're going to manage and integrate what this means now, and how we're going to
Exactly.
still have something in us. Because life requires something from
Right.
us. I mean, it can
Right. We're
be.
not saying we're going to heal, but we're saying we're going to create a life. And that's what I said to my husband, figure it out. Figure out how we're going to still have amazing lives. But do you feel that I've got to believe that throughout your cancer you had a desire to get back out on the trail. And do you feel like all of that helped you recuperate quicker?
Yeah, well, I was super lucky because my surgeon is also a hiker, and she's amazing. And she said to me, so I was, it's a process. They do it, a test, and then, oh, something's suspicious, and blah, 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 blah. And I finally had a lumpectomy. And she said, "We don't know exactly what we're dealing with yet. So what I suggest you do is go hike one. As we figure it out." I mean, can you imagine? I don't know very
That's
many
great.
doctors who would say
No,
that,
and that's
rather than just
great.
like sitting around, like, ah.
Right.
And I mean, I already had a plane ticket. I already had plans to start the Appalachian Trail from Mount Katahdin. I mean, like the hardest, right? So coming from Maine it's crazy hard. And it was a horrible season. It was raining and miserable. But so I flew out there not knowing for sure what I was dealing with. And I met some friends. We went to Mount Katahdin and I started, you hike up this, huge mountain and then you, and that's mile zero when you get to the top and you come down. And I hiked for, I knew it was going to be like, it was about 2 weeks. And I was going to get a phone call from her when I came to the first town. And she called and said, "You need to come home." I know. And she said, "But you can hike for a few more days because we still have to organize." I'm like,
Going. It's okay.
and I was glad I did because I had. Well, it's kind of strange because I had like this few more days that were hard, and then I told the friends that I made, I have cancer, I got to go home. And a woman who was hiking north, I mean, we were sitting around a table at a restaurant, and I was about to leave, and she was hiking north. Her name was Susan, and she just said, "I had breast cancer," and I was like, "What?" And she said, "And look at me, I'm about to finish the Appalachian Trail." So we sat down, and I was terrified. I was like pissed, but we sat down and had this long talk. And she's like, "You need to go home and get your team together, not only doctors, but like people." And so, in all of the midst of that, and still we didn't know, until I had the surgery, and we weren't sure what we were going to do. I had some choices to make. It was hard. It was hard. But my doctor said, "You should start as I was healing. You can't really move your arms, but slowly you're walking, you know." She said, "As you're healing, you should start putting on progressively heavier backpacks and get ready to go." And I was like, she's like pushing
I
me out the
love
door.
it. I
She's like,
love
"Don't
it.
waddle, don't sit there in there or wallow." Like I said, waddle, wallow in your sorrow. Get on it. And I think it's true. I think having a goal, I wasn't super strong. I was just coming back, but
Doesn't matter. One step at a time.
another 150 miles.
Wow. We're speaking with Allison Young, who has walked over 12,000 miles on six continents, and you are actually going to be speaking in May at Hike Like a Woman Summit. It's going to be online May 8th through the 12th, and we'll put the link in the show notes. But so what's your what possibly is left as a goal for you? Like, what's your next adventure?
Oh, so many things.
I love it.
I'm going to leave in March to do a little bit of unfinished business on the Arizona Trail. Then I'm going to go in April and start the Appalachian Trail from Georgia, which probably would have been smarter in the start all around. I think it's a little easier to start there than Maine, and just go as far as I want. And then the big trip coming up is the Pyrenees in the French-Spanish border. So it's a high route. You go from the Atlantic Ocean to the Mediterranean Sea along
Oh,
my route. Yeah, it'll be hard. And
that's
then, I mean, there's
incredible.
like a really big dream out there. So anybody who's thinking of like they want to sponsor a hiker, you can talk to me. I want to do the Great Himalayan Trek,
Oh my gosh.
Himalayan Trail, I guess it's
How
called.
long is that?
So that's going to be another like New Zealand. It'll take 5 months and it's 1700 kilometers. So it's all of the Himalayan walking that you do go over high mountain passes. So you have to have some mountaineering, but it's not climbing the mountains. You're going near them of Nepal.
And does your husband meet you sometimes along the way or what?
Yeah, he does. He came to New Zealand for 3 weeks and we're tourists. Actually, I made him do three different hikes. Shorter ones. And we had a really good time. It was fun. Yeah.
That's hysterical. Allison, this is so inspirational. Metaphorically, and it doesn't have to be hiking, but what tips would you give to women in midlife who are looking to break out of their shell?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think what my friend said, I may be old, but I'm not done. It ain't over till it's over. You can still have dreams, you can still have plans. Even if you can't do everything you did when you were 20. Okay, so that would be one. I think what kind of one of the most important ones for all of us is to be curious rather than certain. And
I like that.
I try to wake up with that every day. Let the day unfold. Let it tell you what it's going to be. And and see what happens. I mean, when you called me or contacted me to do this conversation, we didn't know where it was going to go.
No,
It was a
no.
trail.
Yeah.
So, and it's fun. It makes life full of play,
Yes.
rather than grasping.
Exactly. And open to new adventures.
Yeah, you never know.
Wow. Allison Young, thank you so much. And everybody, have a great day, and we'll see you next week. Bye
Thank
now.
you.